scores! Gilmore scores! With 103 left!
Off the glass, the left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk. Starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get things going this hour on the program. It is Thursday, April 24th, and this hour of Flames Talk is underway from our Groundworks downtown studio. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson of Post Media on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. And believe me, you, when I say the text line is open this hour, at 960-960, if you're listening live. Text line wide open. We say hello to Wes. Hello, buddy.
Hey, buddy. I was just reacting. I saw some news on the Sportsnet ticker about your go-to footy team.
Well, what did I miss?
Somebody's injured. Out for the year.
I haven't seen that yet.
I don't want to put a damper on the day, and I don't follow closely enough to have known who said person was, but... My condolences.
Hopefully you're having a wonderful Thursday. And as I said, the text line is open at 960-960. I say that because we are now 1 week removed from the final game of Calgary season. That 5-1 win in Los Angeles was exactly 1 week ago today from Crypto.com Arena. And we have yet to be able to do one of these. There's been a lot to talk about and a lot to dive into. And it is Flames Talk mailbag time at 960-960, our first off-season mailbag. And we have got a ton to talk about, and I'm sure there are a ton of questions across the spectrum. Free agency, Rasmus Anderson's future, the goaltending picture going forward, contract extensions, next year's lineup, who should play with who, so on and so forth. I already got a few questions in because we threw it out on Twitter before the program began. But if you got a question at 960-960, get it in. Leave your first and last name, and we'll get to as many of our mailbag questions as we can over the next hour on the program, because there is a ton to talk about at 960-960.
This is the part where you remind me that when you say rapid fire, I should keep it a little more tight.
No, it's way more fun when it's this way. It's way more fun when I say rapid fire.
We got some good ones already?
We got a couple in there already. Okay. And here's how it goes on the mailbag. Usually, it's a little slower to begin with, and so we spend a little bit more time on some of the questions, and they start coming a little bit more hot and heavy as the hour rolls on. So 960-960, give us your first name, and we'll get to as many texts as we possibly can on the Flames Talk mailbag on this Thursday, and it's going on for the full hour, so you got some time, but might as well get it in as early as you can. Let's start with our buddy Anand. He's kicking us off. He has two. Any hot take you have going into next season? Any added new players or someone traded? And for Wes, which player has been the biggest positive surprise for you? And which player did you want to see more out of? So Anand is throwing the gauntlet out.
Okay.
Any biggest? Hot take is what I was asked.
Yeah, and I got biggest surprise biggest and positive player I and, wanted to see more out of.
Yeah, maybe biggest positive surprise and biggest disappointment would be the best way to, okay. to go about that.
Yeah, you want to answer first while I mull? Do you have a hot take on standby?
I do not have a hot take on standby, but I do think he asks any added new players or someone traded. I do think if Sam Bennett becomes available in unrestricted free agency, I do think that the Flames will go hard after him. I think that they will put one of the better offers on the table to Bennett in free agency, and I think that they will try to see if they can convince him to come back to Calgary. So that is one that I think is, I don't know if that's a hot take because I've been talking about it for a few months
right.
now, but I do think if
Sam's not leaving Florida, is he?
The only thing that gives me pause is that it's April 24th. Their playoff and their Stanley Cup defense has officially begun, and he's still not signed, and he's still a pending unrestricted free agent. How many of those guys did we see last year at this time that we thought, okay, well, Florida will figure it out there, and how many guys ended up leaving, from Brandon Montour to others, that the Florida Panthers were unable to retain? My gut says yes, because Bennett is so integral in what the Panthers do. I do think that, yes, they will find a way to keep him, but it does give me pause that we're almost at May and he still doesn't have a contract. So he's the one guy that I think the Flames will actively pursue in unrestricted free agency if he gets there.
Fair.
That's my as hot a take as I can get.
Okay. Yeah, I like the way you combined your two questions into one. That's going to be hard.
All right.
That's going to be hard for me to do.
A little
do.
More difficult for you to do, yeah.
Starting with the most pleasant surprise, and certainly, you know, we've talked at length about Dustin Wolf, and so while I think Dustin Wolf exceeded expectations, I'm not sure he fits the total surprise category, and so I'm going to go with a guy whose name is actually on the transaction ticker today because he's headed down to the Wranglers for game two of their playoff series, and that's Adam Klapka. And what made Adam Klapka such a pleasant surprise for me, especially over the past 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season, is I think he is now showing flashes of a guy who can exceed the ceiling that I thought was fair to him at the NHL level. I saw just a fourth line thumper, and you know, I've had great conversations with Adam Klapka, who on top of being a pleasant surprise is just a really good dude to chat with, it and he's talked about modeling or studying the game of Tage Thompson. We've heard Alexei Protas' name come up from Ryan Huska as a guy who they wonder if he could share some traits, and I sort of, whenever I heard that stuff, I was intrigued and yet fairly certain that Adam Klapka was nothing more than a big body fourth liner at the NHL level, and what we saw in those past several weeks of the season, and you know, during that wild card chase, was a guy
mm-hmm.
who looks like he might be sorting out how to be a 6'8" difference maker in the NHL. And
yep.
So he is probably, as I go through the roster, and maybe it's a bit of recency bias, but he'd be the most pleasant surprise for me. Player that you'd like to have seen more out of, or biggest disappointment. I think the low hanging fruit there is Yegor Sharangovic, not just because the goals were almost halved from 31 to 17, but because of the lack of consistency in those one-on-one battles. And just, I've said it on this program before, just not necessarily looking like a guy that you could count on in those big moments. Maybe we saw him start to change that narrative a little bit in the last 5 or 6 games of the regular season. But I'll add one more because I think Sharangovic is so obvious. And that for me is Morgan Frost, as a guy who unfortunately shares some traits with Sharangovic when it comes to not winning enough one-on-one battles. But the potential there, like the offensive skill set with Morgan Frost, is it's there. This mm-hmm. is a guy who has the ability to really make a difference and pile up some points, I think, at the NHL level. And understanding the challenge of assessing a guy immediately after a trade and on, that's a guy that maybe I won't say I'd like to have seen more out of this season, but I certainly, in his first full season with the Flames, need to see more then.
We're off and running on the Flames Talk Mailbag.
I know the question wasn't for you.
No, I'm not answering. It wasn't for me, so I'm not allowed to answer.
Okay. That must mean you got another one holstered over there.
Biggest positive surprise for me was probably Coronado.
Yep.
And not that I didn't think he was going to be an impact maker, but maybe I didn't give enough credit to just how hard a worker he is, how hard he is to knock off pucks, and how hard he works to get to good shooting areas. I thought he was outstanding this year.
Yeah.
And I think it just is starting to scratch the surface in terms of where he's going. So that would be maybe my biggest surprise player.
Haven't the improvements in his skating really allowed him to exploit Agreed. That too?
Yeah, Danielle Fujita has worked a ton with Matt Coronado over the last couple of years in that area. Sharon Govich would definitely be at the top of my list on the other side. I did think it was a disappointing year for Rasmus, all things considered.
Yep,
he'd be the first to agree with that. In fact, he did agree with that last weekend. I thought Rasmus Anderson got off to a great start, but it definitely tailed off and became far too up and down as the year went along. Okay, we're off and running. Flames Talk mailbag. Get your questions in at 960, 960. Starting to accumulate them now. Leave your name. We'll get to as many as we can at 960, 960 on a full hour Flames Talk mailbag, our first off-season mailbag of the summertime. Steinberg and Wes along with you. Steve says, with Elias Pettersson possibly being on the trade block, would you offer one or both of Zeri or Coronado in a package for him, given his recent struggles? My answer to that question is yes, because the one thing Pettersson does is play a position the Flames are not deep in going forward. But I'm not as unequivocal and adamant about it as I would have been even 3 or 4 months ago. Look, I know that it's been about a year now of really uninspired or frustrating play from Elias Pettersson, kind of started in last year's postseason and carried into this regular season. But I still think we're talking about a guy that prior to that had racked up almost 200, if not more than 200 points over the span of two seasons. Like that doesn't happen by accident either. And so I still think we're talking about a very high-end player, and knowing how difficult it's been for the Flames to fill their need down the middle, even knowing he is an $11 million player.
11.6.
Sorry, $11.6 million player. Yeah, I still would, if he was actually on the block and if there is actually a realistic opportunity the Flames can land him, then I would be willing to have either one of those guys in the conversation about acquiring him.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to have one of them in the conversation. I think if you were going to maximize Elias Pettersson's playmaking ability, you'd probably want to still have Matt Coronado around as a guy to potentially play with him. I'll take a massive step backward and say that while I understand the Flames are desperate to acquire an upper echelon center and they don't grow on trees and they're not traded very often and all that stuff, I have big time buyer beware heebie-jeebies about Elias Pettersson and that contract. The things you hear about the conditioning not being where you want it and the practice habits maybe not being where you want them, and I suppose fair questions that always come with those other accusations about whether the give a hoot is where you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably coupled with why are the Canucks willing to trade him across the mountains to one of their biggest rivals? If you were having that conversation, I know people are screaming at their radios right now saying, well, how are you going to get a number one center? I'd be nervous about that one. And I'd be especially nervous about giving up multiple of your future pieces. And I mean, your future core pieces to acquire a guy that I'm just not totally sold on.
I just can't get back. Like, you don't get to 200 points over the course of two seasons by accident.
I can't argue with that part at all.
And I just wonder about what a change of scenery might do to a player of that caliber. I do not dispute any of what you just said.
Yeah.
There are definitely some. Would it be a risk worthy of taking if you're the Flames? Is the question that it would really come down to it for me.
It's sort of a case, isn't it, buddy? That it feels like a guy who has that many questions surrounding him should come at a discount, and yet because of what a special player he can potentially be, he's not going to. All those red flags are going to scare off some potential suitors, but certainly not all of them. And that's the part. You're paying a premium to bring in a guy that I just don't know exactly what you're going to squeeze out of.
Yeah. This one comes from Aaron. What was more fun, the Flames run for Flames fans or Oilers fans watching this crap? Answer, Flames fans enjoying the last 10 games, then the Oilers making the playoffs and not doing very well. That's a selective edit right there. I will say this has not been fun if you're an Oilers fan. I will say that much. And I know there's been a couple of there was a comeback in game one that, you know, ended up tied for all of, what, a minute? And then there was a one-goal game for a little bit, like 2.5 minutes or whatever it was in game two when they got back within a goal. But this has been an absolute bulldozer that the Oilers have ran into. And look, the series isn't done.
Still, ask me after game four.
I'm not willing to say they're done, but it has been a nightmare first two games. You know why I'm not willing to say it's done? Because I'm not a jerk like Shan, and I'm not willing to jinx it. Shan is over there like, Shan, don't. Do not jinx it. I'll give you all the credit in the world afterwards, but do not jinx it. I've done this too many times.
I was listening to Sportsnet today earlier, and Shan was on the last sentence of the obituary of the Oilers for sure.
The
cart is way too far ahead of the horse. I don't know if Shan has been alive long enough to know the old saying about how it's not game on until you lose a game on home ice, but I'd just be a little bit leery of calling your cousin from Edmonton to poke the bear just yet.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
No, Shan, leave your mic off. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
You can. What do you have to say for yourself?
Not worried.
That's awesome. And I will give you all the high fives and zero credit if it happens. But it's way too early. I've seen this movie too many times. Now, they're missing Ekholm. They're missing competent NHL goaltending. Like they are definitely in a bad spot. Let's see what happens in game three.
Mm-hmm.
Justin, who would the Flames' number one target be for an offer sheet? I would much rather use a late first round and second and third rounder to secure a known asset. It is a fascinating question, and it is a really interesting conversation. It seems like, I don't know, it seems like there's more thought about offer sheets this year or more buzz out there about offer sheets this year than maybe in past years. I know that I've been asked on Flames Talk postgame by a number of people, like, would you offer sheet Matthew Knies in Toronto? I don't think it's going to get there with Knies. I think Knies and the Maple Leafs will figure it out.
Yeah.
It may be at the, I think just a couple of kind of birdies have told me that, you know, Knies might be higher priority than keeping Marner or Tavares in Toronto right now. So, you know, I wonder what Brad Treliving ends up doing in terms of his priority list, but I don't think the Knies camp will be signing an offer sheet because I don't think the contract negotiations are going to go off the rails to that point. But Knies is an interesting one. I get why people would wonder about that. The guy I wonder about is Paterka in Buffalo.
Yeah.
That'd be an interesting one if you, again, were looking for an offer sheet. I don't know if that's something that Craig Conroy is looking to do, but Paterka is an interesting one in Buffalo if you're looking to do that. The problem is there's not a lot of center icemen that are available again when it comes to the offer sheet conversation.
Can I throw one name out there that I wonder about? And I think it's always important to preface this. Like we talk so often about how are they going to find that cornerstone center. I wrote something earlier today looking at a couple names that could pop up during draft preview, and it's like not every center you bring in is going to be the cornerstone, right?
That was not what Morgan Frost was brought in to be. He was brought in to be a guy that helps their center ice depth, but was never brought in to be this team's future 1C, right?
If you went down the offer sheet road,
okay, I wonder
about Marco Rossi.
Rossi and Dorofeev were the two other guys that I wonder about because they can both play center, but I don't think either Dorofeev in Vegas or Rossi in Minnesota are your number one centers.
No, absolutely not.
And then you're in that same spot. You're like, okay, well, where does Zeri fit? Where does Frost fit? Where does Kadri fit? Where does Backlund fit?
If the question, and I can't remember who asked it.
Justin.
If Justin asked, would you offer sheet someone this summer? My answer would be no. But if the question is, who are you offer sheeting? Marco Rossi's one guy I'm curious about because of Minnesota's cap crunch, because he is a guy like 60 points this season is not nothing. It would have put him third on the Flames.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that he fits the profile of what you're looking for. Now with Dustin Wolf coming up toward RFA, some of the other names at play, I'm not sure you're jumping into that sandbox this summer. But if you were, that's one name for me.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I wish he was a right shot.
Yeah,
but he's not. But that would be a worthy one to go after if you wanted.
It's probably, and I don't have the chart up in front of me that has the different picks and dollar values, but it's also one that you'd hope to get low enough that it's not, you know, it's not the whopper of a pick package.
Yep.
Now, does that make it more palatable for Minnesota to match? Absolutely, but. Again,
you got to find that sweet spot that St. Louis did where they like, don't do what Mark Bergevin did in was it Bergevin in Montreal? No, it was Don Waddell in
on the Kotkaniemi one.
Kotkaniemi one.
Yeah. I don't really remember the specifics of that one.
No, maybe that wasn't the right one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think which one. Like there's been a couple
that don't so have that easy sort to of match. Poison pill in them. Yeah.
And you need to find one that is you need to find a threshold, much like what Doug Armstrong did in St. Louis, where it like puts the other team in a tough spot and makes it a whole lot more likely that you're going to get the player. And in both cases, Holloway and Broberg, the Blues got their player because the Oilers were in a tough spot.
And I think part of the fascination...
And they made the wrong decision.
Yes. Part of the fascination locally with offer sheets, I think, comes from the rumors that have been floating around that the Flames were also in on those two. And I'm just not sure that that's as strong of a case as some people have suggested.
My understanding was the Flames were approached.
Right.
And that was it.
So, yeah, which turned into then, well, they were thinking about offer sheeting. I'm not sure if that was more a couple of agents wanted them to think about offer sheeting. Yeah,
that is more what I understand, is that they were approached to do it, and they thought about it and decided not to go down that road.
And so that might frame the offer sheet discussion a little bit stronger as well.
Flames felt it wasn't the time is kind of my understanding, that it wasn't the right time to make that type of splash. This from Sean in Calgary. Do you see any reclamation projects in UFA that Calgary could sign on a short-term deal, mostly to trade at the deadline for assets? I loved the Mantha acquisition until he blew apart his knee. Who are the other guys you see like that, except with intact ACLs? Well, I haven't thought a ton about it.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the sort of pump-and-dump candidates. The pump-and-dump plan did not go quite as hoped in Calgary with.
And I wonder if that shies them off from trying that again.
Yeah, I mean, the Mantha one was maybe off to an okay start. The Tyson Berry one proved to be a little bit of a disaster. Maybe that's not a fair way to put it, but the Tyson Berry one just never worked. I certainly don't think of Joel Hanley as a reclamation project, especially with what he showed later this or at the end of this season. And yet he becomes a little bit of a candidate. If you were going to keep him, you'd want to structure that contract to make it very tradable for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good answer to Sean's question. I don't know who else. I mean,
I've been looking at the UFA list right now and like, there's nobody.
It's pretty uninspiring.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you're, you don't need any more right shot D, so you don't need to go get Tony D'Angelo, which don't do that.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. But like that, or Cody CC, you don't need to go get one of those guys. Although CC, with his work and how he's killing penalties in Dallas, that might help his case anyway.
Part of the balance here is going to be that you're not losing many of your own UFAs, and so You've got a bit of a numbers game to play.
Honestly, I don't believe the Flames will be very active at all in unrestricted.
No, I mean, you asked me to look at the UFA market, something we're going to talk about on the roundtable with Wilsey today, and I got to tell you, it's pretty... I'm not as hyped on the Sam Bennett idea. I shouldn't say hyped, but I don't think it makes a ton of sense right now, and so it's a pretty hard list for me to pick through.
Dustin in Calgary says, I saw a headline suggesting the Flames will make a run at Shane Wright this offseason. Is that someone that moves the needle for you guys? And if so, what would you have to give up or what would you be willing to give up to go after that type of player?
I did not see that headline.
It was actually on one of your stories. You were writing about Zane Parekh and then Post Media just sewered you.
I know that. You know, you could target Seattle as a team that maybe has too many centers, and yet a non-playoff team that's about to switch their hockey operations or it has switched up their hockey operations game plan. I just don't see them moving Shane Wright.
Let me tell you this. If they were to move Shane Wright, I'd be all over it if I'm the Flames. He took some big steps this year. He almost scored 20. This guy wasn't projected as the number one overall pick in that draft in 2022 rather, for nothing. Like, that wasn't something that, you know, people are just like, oh, this guy, oh, actually, no, he's no good. Yes, he dropped a four, and yes, it's been a little bit slower out of the gates, but with his blend of all the things that he can do, play that hard-nosed game, he's a pretty solid guy, he's got a great shot, and is still a pretty intelligent, high IQ type player.
And just turned 21.
Just turned 21, yeah. 44 points in 79 games. If that guy was available, I'd be all over trying if I'm the Flames. I'm just more where you are. I don't know if that's a guy that Seattle decides to move on from. But if they were ready to, then, yeah, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I just, if this was Kraken talk, we'd be sitting here saying, why on earth would you move Shane Wright? He could be one of your three or four future building blocks. Absolutely. If his name is floating around, Craig Conroy should be all over that. I have a hard time seeing it from the other side of the lens.
This one from Greg. I like this one. Do you think Edmonton goes after Vladar this offseason, especially if LA wins the series? I don't know if Vladar is the guy that they go after, but if the Oilers squander this and they don't get anywhere close to where they were last year,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about a team that enters the final year of Connor McDavid's contract with no goaltender that they can count on, again, Stuart Skinner figured it out in last year's postseason and was the goalie of record going all the way to Game 7, which was no fluke. So I'm not suggesting that it won't. I don't want to get a bunch of 780 area codes in 6 days saying, oh, I told you so, Steinberg, because neither Wes or I are ready to write the Oilers off as much as we'd like to. But if it does go bad or it continues to go the way that it's gone and we see more Calvin Pickard in this series because they don't trust Stuart Skinner, they're gonna they have to do something. Whether it's John Gibson.
Yeah.
And this is no disrespect to Dan Vladar, but I don't know if Vladar is the guy that solves your issues. You need to go and get a John Gibson. You need to go and get a Freddie Anderson if you can stay healthy. You need to go and get somebody that actually solves your problem as a number one goalie. And the guy that I think is at the top of that list would probably be Gibson.
I think part of the equation, if the Oilers are going to get a goalie as a sort of explicit reaction to what's happened in these playoffs, aren't they looking for a guy with playoff experience? Like, aren't you sort of prioritizing there, here's a guy who's done it in the spring, our goaltending just let us down in the playoffs, or that's the way we feel, so we need to get a new goaltender? Are you bringing in a guy with, what is it, two playoff
yep.
appearances?
Yeah,
I think both in mop-up.
Yep.
I don't think Dan Vladar is their number one target. Certainly any team that needs a goalie this offseason, Dan Vladar is one of the top talents on the UFA market. When you're going to be very specifically targeting playoff experience, it's not him. But can I throw something in there that I just think would be so funny if it happened?
Sure.
I think they should offer sheet Joel Hofer.
Get back at Doug Armstrong?
Yeah, just like spice it up a little.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because the text line jogged my memory. So what happened was Mark Bergevin offer-sheeted Sebastian Aho.
Right.
Made it way too easy for Carolina to match. I just couldn't. And then to get back at them, Carolina offer-sheeted Jesperi Kotkaniemi and got him.
You know what,
so
buddy?
That was what I was thinking about. And Bergevin did it so poorly. Like, I remember at the time, I was like, yes, offer-sheet. What is that? That's the easiest one to match. I don't think Don Waddell, at the time, who was the GM in Carolina, now the GM in Columbus, I don't think Don Waddell had to blink. He probably sent a basket of flowers to Mark Bergevin. Thank you. Like, this was and they haven't looked back from there. So yeah. That thank you to the text line for reminding me on that.
That offer sheet was so easy
don't
to
do
match
that
I got to be honest, I didn't even, if you had asked me walking in today, did Sebastian Aho ever get offer sheeted? I'd have to think about it for a couple minutes. Like, it was so forgettable that he was even offer sheeted because it was just such a non-story.
Yeah, because it was so easy to match. Keep your questions coming.
Yeah, 960, keep them coming, please.
960. Flames Talk Mailbag is underway on this Thursday at Steinberg and West. Can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Or don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We are rolling through our Flames Talk mailbag, our first mailbag of the offseason. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio. Shall we just jump right back in? Keep them coming at 960, 960. We'll get to as many as we can in the next 15 or 20 minutes. We've had some good ones so far. Let's get to Eric in Calgary who says, what about Gabe Vilardi as an offer sheet target? Don't mind it. Like the player. I do believe the Flames are limited in terms of their offer sheet ability because they're going to give up their first round pick. I do believe that limits them in some senses in terms of the type of contract they can offer of the
you're not offer
compensation.
Sheeting. You're not offer sheeting until July, though. So you're looking at your next year's pick.
Right, in which case they do have
I
think they're fine.
I think they're covered there. As I said earlier, and I think you agree with, I just don't see them going down the offer sheet road likely this summer. And I'd be even more surprised if they, well, I think Vilardi's an interesting candidate. I'd be even more surprised to see them do so on a winger. And yet, I think from a...
Now, can Vilardi play center is the big question. Was drafted as one and is listed as one, but has not played a ton recently down the middle in Winnipeg.
Or in LA.
Yeah.
So maybe a question neither of us are very well suited to answer.
Shubes wonders, do the Flames re-sign Mantha? We've talked about this before. My gut says no. I think Kirkland's a decent chance to be re-signed. I think Vladar is a decent chance to be re-signed. And I think Hanley would also be ahead of a guy like Mantha in terms of the re... I know the Flames would like to keep spots open for younger players and have more of an opportunity. Matt Coronato became a full-time NHLer this year because Anthony Mantha was out for the season, right? And so I don't think the Flames want, and you never hope for injuries, but I don't think the Flames want to have a situation where something needs to happen for a player who was great in camp to get an opportunity. And so I don't know. Like last year we saw Cooley, Bean, Lomberg and Mantha all signed on July 1st. I don't think we see that many guys signed when it's all said and done. I think the Flames are a whole lot less less busy, and volume-wise, I think we see a whole lot less from them in free agency this year.
I just scribbled down eight names, which is going to answer my question about Anthony Mantha. Huberto, Coronado, Coleman, Farabee, Zeri, Pospisil, Klapka, Sharangovich. That's eight wingers under contract for next season that are best suited to play in your top nine. Now, can a Farabee play on the fourth line? Sure. You know, can a Klapka? Yes, we've seen it. Can a Pospisil? Yes, we've seen it. But are you adding more on the wings if it's not a real difference maker? I don't think so.
What else we got here at 960-960? I like this one. 40 and Ford Sask. In 2026, McDavid and Eichel are UFAs. Save money and take a swing. I mean, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if... Do we think...
Who would you play on the wing if you signed both?
Well, good point.
Yeah. Or would you do sort of the McDavid-Leon thing?
Yeah, so sometimes pretend, Eichel pretend would center
to,
his
pretend
own
pretend to keep and... them on different lines.
I don't think that... Do either of those guys hit UFA? Probably not.
Imagine the hullabaloo if McDavid was trending towards free agency. I think Canadian Tire is actually already working on their pitch.
Fair enough.
It's a good pull, hey?
That is a good pull. I like this one from Craig in Millerville. Similar type question. Do you see the Flames going hard after Mitch Marner? No, I do not. Not to say they wouldn't be interested, but what I have been told by a few different people is that if Marner is not returning to Toronto, he doesn't have as much interest playing in a Canadian market. Obviously, all reports suggest, and any intel I've received on this, is that Marner would love to stay in Toronto if they can come to an agreement. And he's had a pretty good first two games of the postseason, which has been the biggest knock on Mitch throughout his time as a member of the Maple Leafs. But every indication I've gotten is that another Canadian market is not what he's interested in. And I think there will be enough U.S. markets available for him to get a pretty big payday. So I think it would be worthy of the Flames looking into it, but I'm not anticipating it for that reason.
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to put it. If the Flames were going to, and certainly not saying they're the same player, but if the Flames were going to take a shot at least seeing whether they'd be on Mikko Rantanen's radar, then I think they'd do the same diligence with Mitch Marner. I just don't see it going very far.
Nathan guy says, guys, could the Flames go after Bowen Byram? Is an offer sheet possible on that front? If not, do the Flames have the assets to pull it off? Well, one of the big questions, you know, I go back to, it's funny you bring up Byram. He's a potential Sabre. And I say that because he's a restricted free agent. Again, you talk to people in Buffalo, they believe the Sabres will find a way to keep Byram because they feel that since Rasmus Dahlin has been a member of the Sabres, the best partner he's had, the best fit he's had has been Bowen Byram. I think he is a worthy target. Left shot D, young. I mean, what a perfect guy to have in kind of your, like, if you're going Parekh and Ball and Uyghur, and who knows where, if Rasmus Anderson fits in there or not, but like having a guy like Bowen Byram, that's a really nice kind of compliment and solidifier, if that's a word, in your top four. But one of the big questions has been when there was all that talk. We knew the Flames were interested in Dylan Cousins. We knew the Flames would have loved to get their hands on Dylan Cousins, but did they have the assets to pull off the trade? And I don't know if they did. Like, who was their young center that the Sabres were interested in going the other way? It was Josh Norris who ended up going to Buffalo.
Right.
Did the Flames have a guy like Norris? The only guy that you could have pointed to would have been Frost at the time, but Frost's stock was super low.
I mean, you could hope that the Sabres see Connor Zeri as a comparable there, but I think that was sort of the reaction when we heard about the Cousins trade. A bunch of us were sitting in the media lounge at the Saddle Dome or later that morning basically saying, well, that explains why the Flames didn't get him. They didn't have that offer. They couldn't make that offer. Yep.
And that is why I wonder still about a guy like Bowen Byram as well. If, you know, because the Sabres are in such a, like, they're not rebuilding anymore. They want impact players who are going to be there. Like, I don't know if Rasmus Anderson gets you a Bowen Byram because right. Rasmus has 1 year left on his deal, and you have no idea if he'd be willing to re-sign long-term in Buffalo, right?
And I think with a guy like Byram, I just called up the compensation on offer sheets. Like, it's roughly, if the AAV is from 4.5 to 6.8, you're looking at a first plus a third. If you go over 6.8, that next tier is a first, a second, and a third. I wonder if you're trying to get Bowen Byram out of Buffalo, if you're actually better to try to negotiate a trade than you are to offer sheet because of what that compensation might become.
Yeah, fair enough. What else we got here at 960, 960? Who would say no in a trade? Rasmus Anderson and both of Calgary's first-round picks for San Jose's first pick.
San Jose would say no.
Yeah, here, the Sharks would say no. First of all, it is so hard to move up into the top five in this day and age. It, like, never happens. And if it does happen, you have to have another pick pretty close, right? Like a 16th and a whatever. I don't know. I don't feel like San Jose would be interested in that at all, especially if they've got a shot at Matthew Schaefer.
So I know there's a report out there that San Jose would be willing to entertain offers on their pick. Here's how I see it unfolding. San Jose needs a defenseman desperately. If they win the lottery, they stay there and they select Schaefer. If they don't win the lottery and Schaefer's gone, then they're willing to entertain offers. But I wrote this for a mailbag for Post Media earlier today. Here's why this is a really short conversation. They want a defenseman in the same age range as Celebrini, Smith, and Askarov. That's their core, right? And so Craig Conroy phones and says, well, what will it take to get up to two or three or wherever your pick is? They're not just asking, they're demanding Zane Parekh, or there's no trade there. They need a stud defenseman who's 19 or 20. The Flames have a stud defenseman who's 19 or 20, but I don't know that Flames fans would be doing the same sort of backflips about that trade as they try to will Rasmus Anderson on the Sharks for the chance to pick Michael Misa.
John says, guys, Utah calls Connie and proposes a trade. Tiija Ginla straight up for Zane Parekh. Does he go for it? Don't think he does.
No, I don't
no
think so either.
No disrespect to Tiij at all. But Zane Parekh just put together the season he put together, just made his NHL debut and scored. Feels like there's a ready-made spot for him. Feels like he's ready to make that jump. I don't know if you do.
If you redid the 2024 draft, and this is hardly fair to Tiij, who's coming off hip surgery, but if you redid the draft, Zane Parekh is going ahead of Tiij again.
I think so.
Also, if there was possibly a way to put more pressure on Tiija Ginla in the market of Calgary than being the son of the all-time leader in every offensive category almost that you can think of for the franchise, it would be to then trade him straight up for a guy who just tied a record owned by Bobby Orr.
Mm-hmm. Be a good way. It'd be a good way to really set him up for disappointment in the market.
I actually think it would be unanimous in the hockey ops department to not do that deal, and I have Jerome in there as well. I don't think as Tiija's dad he would see that setting his son up for success either.
Few more. Not sure if it was mentioned or not, but what about Maverick Bourque? Dallas going to be close to the cap already next season. If that's a possibility.
Is that an offer sheet?
Offer sheet, yeah. Yeah, offer sheet or trade. Yeah, Maverick Bourque would be a guy I'd be all over. Right shot center. Now, to this point, has been a bottom six guy in Dallas, but bottom six guy in Dallas isn't the worst. That's not the biggest indictment of all time, knowing how deep that team is, right?
No, and that's another one that you know, as opposed to an offer sheet, that would probably get matched even though they're in cap jail. you know, I wonder about exploring a trade option there if you're looking to move a defenseman. We're talking about a team that's playing Liam Bichelle and Alex Petrovic in a playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize there's a significant injury at play there, but that's a team that has not given itself the defensive depth that they need, at least based on what we're seeing in the lineup right now. And so Maverick Bourque, if Dallas might be interested in a defenseman, becomes an intriguing trade ask, right? Yeah.
Why are we talking about offer sheets? Flames give up their first round pick in 2025 already. Do they offer sheet to give up a 2026 pick? This team needs first rounders to pay off in a few years, not give them all away. So that texter is against offer sheets, which is fair enough. I don't blame you. I don't think that it's always the best road to go mm-hmm. down. I don't know if there's anybody from an offer sheet standpoint that I say, yeah, they should go and try to track that down. And I don't know if, again, this is the right time to do it for the Flames.
Yeah.
But there are right times to do it, and sometimes it pays off, like it did in St. Louis.
I think where I agree with the texter is I'm not super keen, if I'm Craig Conroy, on an offer sheet that comes with an AAV that costs me my first-round pick. If I can get a player I think is on the brink of better things, but it doesn't cost me a first, it's at a compensation level a little lower, then, hey, swing for the fences. But for not knowing kind of what next season looks like and not wanting to give up a first-round pick in what is believed to be a deeper draft than this one coming up in 2026, then I'd be pretty hesitant on the offer sheet.
Yeah, I would as well. And I understand why it's a super sexy topic, but I would also be a little hesitant. Dustin and Drumheller, would a trade for Anderson to Buffalo plus a pick get Alex Tuch, or am I out of my mind? I don't know. I mean, maybe. The problem with that is that Tuch, same age as Raz. They're both kind of 28, 29 years old. They both have 1 year left on their deals, kind of right around the same dollar figure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just don't know. Tuck's 28, 29, like that doesn't really fit this age range going forward anymore. Like if you're the Flames and you're bringing in NHL players in a big trade, I think you're looking for 25 and under as opposed to closer to 30. That would be my look at it. So could it? Maybe. I don't even know if ends up needing to, like, you need to add a significant pick. I mean, I think even straight across, you could see why there would be a fit there in terms of their contract situation. But I don't know if Tuch would be the guy I'd be targeting.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, but Alex Tuch, primarily a right winger.
Yes, not a center.
Yeah. And that's a, you know, we do tend to forget that right shot winger is still an area of need for the Flames as well. But be down my list of asks out of Buffalo, and I can't imagine Rasmus Anderson running at full speed to extend with the Sabres, and so I'm not sure there's a whole lot of meat there.
I like this one. Did the Flames actually get anything back from Montreal in the Monahan trade? No. Technically, they... I mean, future considerations, maybe... Maybe that means a dinner down the road or something. But they did not. It was a straight cap dump.
Yeah.
It was Monahan and a first.
And not to defend it, because I don't think that it was a wise move at the time. What it allowed was for you to sign the player who's been your leading goal scorer ever since, in Nazem Kadri.
Yeah.
You needed cap space for Kadri, and yet, even at the time, it felt pretty short-sighted.
And good to see Sean do what he's done since, which has been really cool to see.
Absolutely.
I like this one. What about Nick Hague in Vegas? I don't mind that as a potential target at all. Left shot D, 26 years old, pending RFA. Vegas always is up against the cap. I think Nick Hague would be a guy you could get from the Golden Knights, and I don't think you have to pay a ton to get him. Like, I don't think that's not even an offer sheet guy for me. That is that's more of a straight up trade target. I think Nick Hague would be a really nice fit going forward as a left side D. Hague and Uyghur as a combo.
I would love that. Plays a mean game.
That's why
game.
I think him and Uyghur would be like, who would want to play that pairing? Because Uyghur Uyghur isn't like, he's not a bruising physical guy, but he does not shy away from contact. He loves a good open ice hit, plays a little mean, plays with edge.
Yeah.
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 And finally, this one, just to wrap it up, from Brett. Just be patient, people. I have a lot of faith in Conroy. Let's stick to his plan. He knows what he's doing, and this team's going to do big things in a couple of years. And that is maybe the last message I'd leave you with is, whatever happens this summer, I do think it is going to be very much in line with the plan and the overall vision that Craig Conroy has been quite transparent about when it comes to this team since taking over. They want to get younger. They want to get to a point where they're a whole lot closer to contending for more than just a playoff spot when the new rink opens in just over 2 years' time. And that is the most important thing. That is what this team is focused on. And that is going to define all of their moves between now and the beginning of next season. Great stuff on the mailbag, friends. Appreciate it at 960-960. Our first off-season Flames Talk mailbag is in the books. We'll do a bunch more throughout the summer. We always do. They're always a lot of fun. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. As we start to wrap things up this hour, thanks to Shan Vergie and Taylor Dingman, our outstanding producers this hour. And this hour has been coming at you from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.